The aurora borealis has dazzled humans with an ever-changing veil of color ever since we pointed our eyes to the sky and spotted this otherworldly vision. The lights are connected to the sun and the storms of electromagnetic energy that lash from the earth. Dr. David Borton is back with another episode of Equality Under the Law, Practical Physics, to discuss the potential for big solar storms in our future and why we should stand in awe and wonder of the sun.
You know, we're just buddies talking about stuff.
And we are back with David Borton and Equality Under the Law, Practical Physics. How are you, David?
I'm good, except that it's snowing again in April.
April 17th, 2018.
Well, it was snowing when I came in. It changes to hail and back to rain and then, you know, more snow. Who knows what's happening?
So is this impacting your work with solar boats as a solar boat craftsman?
Well, yes. Right now, the third solar boat is out in a shed outdoors. It's got a little plastic around it, but it's really too cold to work. It's slowing things down quite a bit.
Well, it will be a dream come true to see the solar cell.
Solar Sail 44, because we got Solar Sail already. You've ridden in Solar Sail.
What's Solar Sail 44?
Oh, that's the new boat. That's the Coast Guard inspected commercial boat, so that it's a boat that will have the Coast Guard stamp of approval, the first ever U.S. solar electric tour boat.
Oh, my goodness. Summer 2018?
That's the plan.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. Well, we will broadcast live from that boat when that boat hits the waters of the Hudson. So did you want to talk about solar storms today?
Solar storms are always an interesting topic because they happen. The northern lights and southern lights, aurora, are the result of particles that come from the sun. Now, you don't know it maybe, but they're coming all the time. And occasionally they come in big bursts because the magnetic lines of force on the moon, on the sun, collapse and eject a bunch of particles. And these particles are like you and me. Used to be atoms, but they get ionized. And so you get these ions and you get protons and you get electrons all coming from the sun to us.
Electrified star stuff, kind of like our conversation on how we are electrified star stuff.
Exactly. That's what we are. And this stuff comes from the sun. And it comes and hits the magnetic field around the Earth, and that magnetic field bends this stuff. And this stuff talked about the fact that electricity and magnetism are totally related, and so that the magnetism bends the electricity, and the electricity is accelerated, and that causes a magnetic effect on all this stuff in the atmosphere, and the result is you get a very high electrical field coming down toward the Earth.
Cool. Wait a minute. The aurora borealis as well.
Yeah. The aurora is a very nice, pretty thing. If you get an electric field coming down toward the Earth, toward wires, what can happen is you can blow out the electrical system. You can blow out the airplane. You can blow out the satellites. You can blow out communications. So that there are some really negative effects that are possible from a solar storm.
So just to be clear, the aurora borealis is essentially a ever-recurring solar storm?
Storm is too strong a word. The particles are coming from the sun all the time. When there's a storm, there's a lot of them coming at once. So there are always these particles coming down. There's always, you know what a neon light, you know how a neon light works?
Sure.
Okay, a neon light is ionized particles traveled by electricity. And when they hit something, they basically make an electron fall down and emit a photon. So the light that comes from there is from the ionized gas in the neon tube. So the same thing is happening up in the atmosphere when you have aurora. And that's cool. That's nice until you get too many of these things. And too many of these things can interrupt basically all of modern life. Pretty much all our systems depend on electricity. And if a severe storm happens, then it can interrupt basically all the things that we depend on. Food, transportation, light, electricity, all that stuff can be interrupted.
I keep trying to separate things out because I have romantic notions of the Northern Lights and the aurora borealis, and then the separate issue of storms that would come. And the beauty of the aurora borealis, all of the colors that you see, what would these storms look like?
Oh, there's an event called the Carrington event that happened, 1857, I think was the date. And what happened was there was one of these storms, and the gold miners out in the West woke up in the middle of the night, and it was light out. So they started to get breakfast and go to work because they thought it was morning. It was that bright from the aurora. And that storm, geomagnetic storm, as a result of the solar storm, made it so that telegraph wires started to spark. And even if you disconnected power, the telegraph wires would transmit signals, and they'd blow fuses and things. It was really quite dramatic if you were a telegraph operator, and one of these geomagnetic storms was a result of a solar mass ejection.
Wow. You know, the thing is, you sent me an article about this between the time that we had different shows. And so is this a concern that's coming into the scientific community right now, at this moment in 2018? Are there just more predictions of solar storms happening soon that would interrupt? I mean, talk about telegraphs in 1857, it would interrupt food distribution, cell phone towers, everything, the whole structure of civilization. But is this an imminent threat to people that scientists are now worried about? Or is this just kind of this background concern that comes up every now and then, and a scientist just wrote an article about it again?
Well, I think maybe the article was a result of a magnetic storm that just missed the Earth. The solar storm was aimed a little bit away from where we are. So all of this, if you will, sneeze from the sun of these charged particles missed us. It went by. It just, you know, whoosh. And so it didn't cause all of these things. But the point is that these things happen, I'm going to say, all the time on the sun. And some of them are bigger and some of them are smaller. And some of them miss the Earth and some of them hit the Earth. So it's sort of like a crapshoot. The dice are rolling. These storms are happening regularly on the sun, and regularly they're aimed at the United States. So, or the whole Earth. So sometimes they're big, sometimes they're little, sometimes they miss. Most of the time they missed, because the Earth is just this little tiny dot compared to the sun. But when they do hit, they are major events for people on Earth.
Now, what do we do about something like that, though? Because it kind of reminds me, I mean, I guess anything that would shut down civilization, what are we going to do? Just roll up the whole stage set of the structures of how things work right now. And obviously, but it's not going to happen that way. But I mean, what do you think is the importance of thinking about this? Is it just the nature of the unexpected quality of the future?
Well, okay. One of the questions is now, how much solar energy are we going to use as a country? And if you do like I do, and that's have a solar energy system for your house that is off-grid capable. So if the grid goes down, my house is fat and happy. I have solar panels, I have batteries, I have backup.
Everybody go to David Borton's home. Hit up the Borton household for food, fire, solar energy.
That's not going to work. But the idea is that if we use solar energy in that way, we are resilient. So we can recover from this basically instantly.
That was Dr. David Borton, physicist, educator, and solar boat builder, with his physics segment, Equality Under the Law, Practical Physics.